Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're doing great, and I hope you've enjoyed this fall as we've been going over parenting hot topics, the most frequently asked questions I get related to parenting, and of course, there's always more, but we have covered, goodness, 6 or 7 different topics, so if you've missed any, be sure to go over to the podcast page where you can check and see everything there and hopefully catch up a little bit. And today, we are wrapping things up with an interview with Emily Jensen, co-founder of Risen Motherhood. And Emily and her co-founder, Laura Whiffler, have together written a new book and a workbook called Gospel Mom. So you probably would agree with me that as Christian moms, we have to make a lot of decisions every day, right? Some little, some really big. And as we go to make decisions, we sometimes have really clear direction from the Word of God, but other decisions we make maybe are a little bit less clear, especially if you are a newer believer, or maybe you're a mature believer, but you're facing new issues that you haven't had to face before. Well, Gospel Mom is a book that really helps walk us through decision-making as Christian women. And in today's interview, Emily shares a little bit more about what that looks like, how we can make better decisions, how we can avoid comparing ourselves with others or extending grace to those who make decisions different from ours. I think there's a lot of really good stuff in both the book and this conversation, so I hope you're encouraged. You can find notes from today's conversation and any links we mention over in my show notes, which today will be found at monicaswanson.com/gospel-mom. All right, without further ado, let's jump in and listen to this conversation with Emily Jensen and I talking about decision making for Christian moms. I hope you're encouraged. Emily, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk.
I am too. I have been thoroughly enjoying going over your new book, Gospel Mom, and the very cool workbook that goes with it. So we're going to be drawing from that today, but I'm really excited for what you bring to this conversation of motherhood and parenting. It is so much of my heart, so I can't wait. But though you've been on before, in case anyone doesn't know you, can you give a quick intro?
Of course. So yeah, I'm Emily Jensen. I live in central Iowa with my husband and our 5 children. They are now like 6th grade to 2nd grade. So we're in that kind of late elementary, early middle school age, which has been a nice change of season for us. Boy, it's a really sweet time, but very busy as well. I'm also the co-founder of a ministry called Risen Motherhood, where I currently serve as the content director. And that ministry started in 2016, so a while ago now, for things on the internet. And I've been podcasting with my sister-in-law and co-founder, Laura Whiffler, just about how the gospel and, you know, the Bible, our faith, impacts our motherhood and just all the different facets of motherhood. So that has been something I've been doing for many years. We co-wrote a book together in 2019 titled by the same name, Risen Motherhood, but more recently have just come together to kind of put all the things we've learned over the last many years into a book format, which is Gospel Mom that we're talking about today. But really, I feel like in my spare time is a funny thing to say because as a mom of 5, I don't have a ton of spare time, but I really do love to write and share, and it's just a joy to be here chatting with you today.
Yeah, I love all that. And though you mentioned Risen Motherhood, when you were on before, you were on for a devotional that I have loved called He is Strong, right?
So yes.
Yes, that was beautiful. And we'll link to that episode and that book as well in show notes. But I just love your writing and love your heart And my goodness, 5 kids. You are busy. You got twins in there, right?
Yes, yes. I have a sort of set of twins.
And you have mostly boys. Am I remembering this right? Is it
4
boys?
Yeah, you have a great memory. Great memory. I'm still trying to remember, like, you know, their birthdays and ages. Like, you know, sometimes you'll get to like the airport or somewhere where you're like, okay, I shouldn't be having to think this hard, but let me.
For sure. Yeah. You know? No, I get that with 4. So yes. Goodness, you are in the thick of it. So all grace abounds. But next, I would love to hear your journey going from Risen Motherhood and your community to this new project, Gospel Mom, which, you know, I'm a fan of. But why Gospel Mom? How'd you get there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, when Laura and I were first starting out with babies and toddlers, we were asking a lot of questions about what we do in motherhood, like practically, how do we honor God in our everyday decisions? And moms of young children know there's a billion decisions that you're making every day, and they all feel really big and really weighty and really important. You know, everything from how do I introduce first foods to, you know, what about weaning? And, you know, what about the toxins that they're exposed to and what type of toys should I get them? And, you know, those questions just go on and on. And so those were really the questions that we were asking. And we said, hey, as moms who are following God, we want to be approaching these questions with him in mind, right? With his word in mind. And so that was really where our journey began. But fast forward, you know, I now have a 12-year-old is my oldest. And, you know, we've been doing this for a few years. And so we really started to notice that underneath all of these really practical questions that we have as moms, what we really want to know is, who should I be? Like, not just what do I do, but what kind of mom is the Lord calling me to be? And maybe even deeper than that, and more importantly, is what is my identity in Christ, kind of apart from motherhood, and yet like that feeds into motherhood and how we live out our motherhood. But I think, like, especially in social media culture, we're seeing just niching down, like people who have lots of answers about lifestyles and methods and strategies. And there's a place for all of that, right? Like Laura would say this too. We Google our questions and our problems. Like, we look for practical solutions, but also, like, a mom who is rooted in the gospel, who's following Christ, her ultimate loyalty is to him. It's not to a certain motherhood label or a certain method or a certain strategy that she's using at that time. She is loyal to him. She's loyal to what the word of God says. And she's orienting her life and her hope all around that. And that's really where this concept of gospel mom came from. And so as Laura and I were trying to say, okay, now that we've had, you know, 10 years of sort of thinking about this, what would we go back and tell ourselves early on when we were in those trenches of babies and toddlers? Well, this would be the message is, yep, you're going to have to answer a lot of practical questions, but let's go to the heart and think about where your identity is, because everything else is going to flow from there.
Oh, I love that so much. I just think we live in a time where it's really easy to say, I'm a Christian. You know, I've even gotten to the point where I just want to tell people I'm a Christ follower. Like, that helps define you a little bit more. But then to get to say, I'm a gospel mom, to me, that's like, yes, that is pinpointing who we ought to be striving to be, because there may be many things that are part of who we are, that represent our interests, or that give us, you know, are part of our personality. But at the end of the day, the gospel ought to inform everything we do as women, as moms, as wives. So I really love that. Now, I want to talk for a minute about spiritual disciplines for us moms. I love to talk about how powerful spiritual disciplines are in the home for shaping our kids. In Raising Amazing, I share research that shows that kids who grow up practicing regular spiritual disciplines are much more likely to grow up to be adults who continue to walk with God. So I love that. But in Gospel Mom, you talk about spiritual disciplines for us as moms, and you use a plant analogy that I thought was really great. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Of course. Yeah. I am a houseplant lover. I feel that I kind of stumbled into this role in my life because I had some women with a green thumb gift me plants when we moved into our home. And I just thought, oh no, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to care for them. So I've really learned a lot. We've been in our house for about 8 years now, and I still have a lot of plants from when we first moved in that are at least 8 years old. And I have some new ones I've acquired along the way. But I think plants are such an interesting picture of what our hearts are like. And of course, it's an imperfect analogy, but it kind of helps give me a category for what we might want to be doing as women, as moms who are rooted in God and who are abiding in Him. And so in the book, we kind of talk about two different things. And one is spiritual disciplines. And we kind of talk about this as a stake that holds a plant up and allows it to grow in a healthy way towards the light. So I have a giant kind of fiddle fig leaf plant in my house, and it's gotten quite tall and it has a stake in it. And if I remove that stake, like the plant wouldn't die, but it would flop over and it would become very sickly and it would have a hard time pointing towards the light. So a spiritual discipline in our lives, like reading the Word of God on a regular basis, meeting together with a local body of believers, praying, taking time for solitude with God. Those are just a few examples of some disciplines that we want to do on a regular basis. They're going to come and go at different times in our lives, but these are things that help us grow healthy. They are things that just give us some structure and some scaffolding in our lives so that we can encounter God through His Word and so that the Spirit can work. And then the other thing we talk about in the book are spiritual habits. And when I think of this, I think a little bit about the art of plant care and that, you know, at different times in the year here, depending on what angle the sun is in the sky and how much light is coming through my windows and what phase that plant is at in its cycle, it needs different amounts of water. Sometimes I have to prune things back from it. Sometimes I have to fertilize it. Sometimes I have to move the plant from one spot to another. You know, I had a plant recently that I intentionally swapped the plants from one spot to another because they were looking a little too comfortable. And I was like, I think that these plants need to sort of be forced so they can grow the other direction a little bit, right? Like they were getting too heavy on one side. So I swapped them. And so it's this idea that there are these habits and these rhythms in our lives that help us grow in our walk with God. But it's a little bit of an art, a little bit of, hey, what season of life are you in? And these are things like cultivating healthy friendships, cultivating what type of media we listen to, what things we take in, maybe how we nourish our bodies with food, how we maybe pursue exercise and health. And again, these are things that are just helping us. If we're saying the goal is that we are orienting our lives around God, we're making decisions based on His Word, we're living for Him, well, these disciplines and these habits are going to help create an environment for healthy growth. But we're abiding in God, and our growth ultimately comes from the Spirit at work. But these things just help prop us up, like gives us that, like I said, structure and stability in the environment for that to happen.
Wow, that is so well said. And I so appreciate just that idea of not separating out the practical living out of our daily lives and the spiritual, but how God really is in all of it. So beautiful analogy there. I also appreciate that you talk about the realities of family life and how we're all coming from different places. We have so many different variables in each of our lives. And you point out that we don't live in the what ifs, we live in the what is. I'd love for you to speak to that a little bit.
Of course. You know, early on in motherhood, I know Laura and I, we would look around at other moms and we each had our own sort of image of what a perfect or ideal Christian mom should be. And, you know, then we would sort of try to like live into that or emulate that. Or maybe we had a friend or a certain mom mentor that we just thought, well, I just want to kind of copy and paste what she does and how she's applying these biblical principles, because then I could really feel like I'm a good mom and I'm sure. doing it right. And, you know, what we found along the way was that everyone's lives are unique and different. So in the book, we talk about a Venn diagram, like go back to elementary school.
Love it.
And there are going to be a ton of things in the Christian life as Christian moms that fit in that center category where we have this in common. Mm-hmm. Our calling at a high level is the same. The commands that God gives is the same. The word, you know, all of these things we can relate to. Birth stories. We can relate to, you know, when we see a mom on Instagram and she's rejoicing over something her kid did, like we can kind of feel that. So there's going to be all these things we have in common. But then there are going to be ways that we're different. And we just feel like sometimes as moms, in an effort to feel validated, to feel affirmed, to feel like I'm doing the right thing, we don't probably pay enough attention to how different our lives actually are from this other mom or from the mom that I follow online. And we don't live with contentment and receive the life that God has actually given us. And so one thing we challenge moms to do in the book is to think about their unique family makeup. You know, what part of the country do you live in? What choices are available to you based on where you live? Yep. What's the culture that you're living in? Like literally, specifically, you know, I live in a rural community in central Iowa, and the things that I am facing here are going to be really different from a mom who is in the San Francisco Bay Area. You know, the types of decisions that we're facing are going to be really different. Think about what your support system is like. Do you have parents around that are helping you with kids? Do you not have any family nearby? Think about your husband. You know, is he a believer? Is he not a believer? Is he, say he's a believer, but he's not leading your family? You know, all of those different things are going to absolutely factor into what your motherhood is going to look like. Like, how many kids do you have? How far apart are they spaced?
Right.
What are their personalities? What are their interests? What are their gifts? What are their weaknesses and their sin tendencies? All of that is going to inform some of the decisions that you're making as a family. And I mean, I know for us, like just to even get personal, one of our children has disabilities, and that is something that has really informed a lot of decisions that we make in terms of how we apply God's word to our specific family. And it's meant that in some cases, when I look around and I'm like, we should be going on those vacations and we should be doing these types of things with our kids and we should be able to have this type of bedtime or whatever. And I feel guilty about those things. I have to go back to the life that God gave us and said, no, our situation is actually different from there. So what works in her life and what works with her husband and her kids is actually wouldn't work and like wouldn't even be loving and like the right choice for our family. And so we really just want to encourage moms to not just look out there at, okay, who can I sort of copy and paste, but to say, okay, how can I take the principles and then use biblical wisdom in my own life with the help of friends, mentors, people that can speak into my situation so I can walk in freedom.
Yes.
So I think that that's really what we want to challenge moms to do. And I think there can just be such a great freedom and contentment when we get to that spot.
I think that's, you can even begin to celebrate. Like, this is a beautiful picture of God designing our family to be who we are. And I think that change, like that perspective shift, can change everything. Okay, well, now I just want to move into some decision-making wisdom here. And again, this is where we say there's a lot of choices we make every day, from little small things that don't seem significant at all to big choices relating to friendships, ministry, school choices, all the different things we face. Walk us through, if you would, just, kind of a framework for what we can use when we need to make a decision and how the gospel informs that.
Well, I'll start with how the gospel informs it, because this is really like the undergirding of the whole book. And this is really the whole first section. And it's just acknowledging that if we want to make decisions that are in line with God's good design, we have to know the word of God. You know, back in, almost a year ago now, I went gluten-free for a significant period of time just for some health reasons. And what was interesting is the longer I went without eating like traditional bread or pastries or muffins or something, I would bake gluten-free things for my family, or I would get gluten-free bread and I'd be like, oh, you guys, this is so good. This tastes exactly like a real muffin. This tastes exactly like a real donut, exactly like real bread. And then my kids would try it and they'd be like, oh, mom, gross, no. And I realized that the further and further I got away from eating regular flour, the more I sort of like lost my footing and my perspective on what it was supposed to taste like. Mm-hmm. And that's like a silly example, but
good one though.
honestly, this is what happens to us when we're just gobbling up, you know, culture's messages and we're consuming tons of social media and news and friends' opinions and books, but we are not spending time in the Word of God. What happens is we start to get confused about what is truly capital G good, what is truly aligned with the Word of God. So I would just say, first and foremost, like, we would encourage a mom who wants to be walking with the Lord and making decisions that are informed by biblical wisdom to be aware of what she's taking in and how those things are influencing her thoughts and her mind. But then assuming all of that, I think to get really practical, you know, Laura and I came up with some questions that we think are helpful for a mom to ask when she's making a decision. And hopefully this is, of course, in conjunction with her husband. But, you know, one question would just be like, is the cost to our family worth it? You know, and cost can be monetary, but cost can also be, you know, what's the cost to family dinner? What is the cost to bedtimes? What is the cost to our good attitudes? What, like there can be a bigger cost. And sometimes we don't always know that up front. Sometimes we can't always count that up front, but it's good to talk about that because even if you go forward and you decide like, you know what, we are going to sign up for this sport and it is going to take 3 nights a week, but we know that there was some pinch points here and some things that we're going to need to counteract. And so we're going into it with eyes wide open about what we might need to do in order to disciple our kids well in the midst of this decision.
Counting the cost. I love that.
Yes. And so another question would be, how does this align with our unique circumstances and our values as a family? So again, hopefully this is considering the values of the Lord. But also sometimes we as a family have unique things that we care about, you know, so this could be everything from, hey, are we considering our kids, you know, if we have a child with special needs, things like that. Or it could be saying, hey, as a family, we feel a tremendous burden to care for orphans. Like, that's just something God has given us. Is this decision help propel us in that direction, or does it help distract us from that? So those might be like some considerations. Another one is just how permanent is this decision? So the more permanent a decision, probably the more weight that you want to put on it, the more time you might want to spend thinking about it, the more you might want to pray about it and get counsel. Something like the decision to have frozen pizza for dinner tonight, no big deal. Like, you can pivot from that. That's not a permanent decision. If tomorrow you're feeling like the Lord's laying on your heart that you really want to pursue better nutrition for your family, like, you can change. And then the next day, if you're like, I'm really feeling my limitations, I think we need to eat out for dinner, you can change. And so I think that we have to sort of be aware of, hey, there are decisions that, do we want to think about them? Yes, but like, they're changeable. Something like taking a new job, moving across the country, changing churches, all of those things are going to take a different level of consideration. And then finally, we would just challenge moms to think about whether or not they can be transparent about this decision.
I love that.
And so we do not owe everybody an explanation for what we do. We don't have to tell everyone everything, right? There are those concentric circles of people in our lives that have different levels of ability to speak into what we do based on our relationship with them. But still, we want to be able to walk in the light, you know? And I think sometimes as parents and as families, like, we know what's right, but then we also sort of want to go our own way and we might try to make a decision that we don't feel great about. And so it's kind of like, let's just sweep that under the rug, or let's not tell our small group that or whatever. Yeah. So I think being able to walk in the light is also really important. So that's just a small snapshot of some of the things we have in the book to help moms make decisions.
And I think that's kind of a litmus test as you go to make a decision, like, would I be comfortable telling somebody this, right?
Yeah.
Hey friends, if you are a homeschooling family or thinking about becoming homeschoolers, I encourage you to go over to the diveintomath.com website and check out the science and math classes taught by our good friend, Dr. Shorman. Dr. Shorman does an amazing job of bringing the Bible into everything he teaches and giving a great education through the AP level if your kids so choose. My boys have all used Dive Into Math for their math and science classes, and my oldest two sons used Dive Into Math for science and math through AP level, went on to college and studied engineering and data analytics. And they give Dr. Shorman a lot of credit for how well they transitioned and how well they did in their classes, now being college graduates with great jobs. Now, Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2 teach every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which is really important if your kids are considering going to college. Now, Dr. Shorman teaches everything with a biblical and historical foundation, and he teaches the why of learning math, which is so important. Now, again, I encourage you to go over to diveintomath.com, check out everything they have to offer. They have wonderful customer support, and I think you're going to love what you find there, and I think your kids are going to love the classes too.
You just touched on something that is so near to my heart. And, you know, some of this overlaps with what I talk about in my book, Raising Amazing. So I just get excited to see other people talking about it. But I think that our freedoms as Christians, you know, so many people want to walk in that freedom. And in Galatians 5:1, it talks about it is for freedom that Christ set us free. But then down in verse 13, it says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity to sin. And I think you nail this in such a gracious way. You're so gentle and loving. But the gospel message is that because of what Christ has done, now we are freed up to honor him, serve him, lay down our life. So that's really how we should see that freedom. But with freedom, we have to also realize that there's going to be other moms who choose to do things differently. And I appreciate that you talk about comparison and how we should be able to love our neighbors, love other moms, even when we're not making the same choice. So maybe you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I think that our hope is once a mom is sort of thinking in line with the word of God, she has her own secure, humble walk with him where she's being led by the Spirit and she has a fruit of the Spirit in her life. Once she starts to bring her own situations to the Lord and he's leading her and she's starting to feel some freedom in that. And because she's like, my husband and I are unified in this, and I've sought counsel from these people. You know, I think that there can be a real security that happens in your heart, and that you're not fearful, you're not anxious, you're not looking to the right or to the left. And it allows you to be in relationship with other moms and not fear them and not feel like I'm in competition with them, or, well, I don't know if I'm the good mom or she's the good mom, or, you know, I'm feeling so proud of myself because I made this decision and I'm kind of looking down my nose at her because she made that decision. But to really come to the table saying, how can I encourage this other mom in the gospel in her own walk with God? How can I love her well? How can I ask her good questions? How can I be curious about her life and the challenges that she's facing so that I can minister to her and comfort her? So I think that's a lot of it, is just sort of like getting our self-centered thoughts like off the table a little bit and being able to encounter another mom with curiosity and compassion and saying, Lord, how might you use me to affirm her and encourage her where I see her mothering in line with the word of God? How might you use me to help her, you know, ask her good questions about areas where I'm kind of confused about why she's doing that, or I don't really understand. And maybe I'll learn something that I didn't know before. Maybe she'll open up to me about a challenge that she's facing behind closed doors that I didn't know about. You know, I think that there's a lot of moms who are struggling with things and they're hurting and, you know, they may be facing challenges at home that you're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, before we say, oh, I don't think that she should have done this particular sport with her kids. I can't believe she did that. It's like, do we even have all the information? Like, do we even know where that mom is coming from? So I think that, you know, just trying to have relationships and relationships that are focused on Christ, relationships that are pursuing unity, are pursuing peace, and are pursuing truth. And I think that's totally fine.
Yes.
Like, we are going to have times where there are other women or other moms in our lives where our convictions are just so deeply different that it practically is really hard to be best friends with that person. Like, there may be moms that you're like, I can be kind with them, but like, wow, we really differ so strongly on this that like, this just maybe isn't a person that I'm going to hang out with all the time. Like, and that's okay too. You know, I think that we have to, sadly, that's a result of the fall.
Sure.
But I think it's okay to have a category in our minds for, this is my sister in Christ. This is someone I've tried to understand. I don't understand. But I also don't have to like hang out with them and, and listen to them all the time.
We don't have to be on the same page on everything. I think it's 1 Corinthians 13. There, one of the love is love believes all things. And I think that I've heard that applied to like, believe the best in people. Like, let's assume the best. And the reason that Christian friend made that choice, let's believe the best about that. And sure, you might want to ask some questions, talk about it. Maybe if it's someone you know well enough, you can even challenge them gently and lovingly with God's word. But to do it in love and always believing the best. Okay. And before I let you go, I want you to tell us a little bit about the workbook that goes with Gospel Mom, because it's a little bit different from anything I've seen, and it seems so helpful and practical. So tell us a little bit about the Gospel Mom workbook.
Yeah, we felt like we could not write this book without giving moms a resource for them to take all of these principles and make it personal. And so basically, Laura and I sat down at a conference room table with a whiteboard, and we just sort of workshopped things, you know, okay, whenever we're thinking of this topic, well, how would we unpack that with a mom? How do we think about that? So we tried to take all of that and put it onto paper. And what resulted was sort of a Bible study, but then also like all these tables and charts and questions that you can fill in. And so what we really want to try to do in the workbook is take some of the principles in the book, like let's say something like spiritual disciplines. And there is going to be a section in the workbook for you to really write out and work through, okay, what are some spiritual disciplines that I have right now? What are some ones that I might want to add? What might that practically look like for me? What might I do when challenges arise? You know, like literally just breaking it down for your own life so that when you're done with the workbook, you actually now have a plan for your own spiritual disciplines. And it's not just out there like, oh, I know I should do this, but like now I have, you know, two specific things that I'm going to do differently as a result of this. Or one of my favorite things we did, and I don't have the workbook in front of me to like quote it exactly, but whenever we were talking a little bit about personal conscience issues, is we have a mom take an issue that's like not in scripture, it's not clear black and white, but she feels real strongly about it, you know, put it on paper, and we have her put that idea to the test, and we say, prove it with scripture. And
there we go,
you know, and really like put it through the ringer and come out the other side and say, do you still, after examining the word of God and praying about this, like how has this changed how you think about this issue and how you might approach a mom differently? And so I just love that it gives a mom an opportunity to really like, allow the word of God to kind of like wrestle with her heart.
So good.
And I don't, you're not going to come out of the workbook on the other side without like being changed. Like it's just, you're not going to come out the same mom.
It's so good. And I think that's something we can apply the rest of our lives. Like, let's do this. Let's take these issues and bring the word of God to it and use that as a filter. I love it. You did a really good job. And I think probably it can be done in groups as well as individually.
Yes. Yeah. It'd be so fun to like see somebody, yeah, doing the workbook on their own and then coming to a group setting and really like downloading with other moms who care about this and say, here's what I found. Here's what I want to do differently. Here's what I was challenged by. I think that would be so edifying.
Definitely. Well, you did a beautiful job, and I'll put some pictures of the pages so people get an idea of some of the different parts of the workbook. I'll put those in show notes, as well as links, of course, to you and Risen Motherhood and all the other things. If somebody just wants to hop online right now and find you, where is the best place for them to go?
Yeah, you can find me at Emily A. Jensen on Instagram.
All right. Perfect. We will send everybody over there. Emily, thank you so much. I'm super excited about this book and think it can really be a helpful tool and resource for so many moms. So thanks for the work you've put into it. And I hope lots of people are changed by it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Monica.
You bet. God bless and aloha.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And again, you can find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/gospel-mom. We are heading into the holidays now, and I'm super excited for all that we have ahead. Next week, we are going to prepare for all of the holidays with mindset, perspective, and such a great conversation with my friend, Krista Gilbert. I think you're going to love it. So I hope you can carve out some time as you prepare for Thanksgiving or maybe on a car ride or airplane or if you're traveling for Thanksgiving. It's one I want to make sure you catch. But if you don't catch it next week, it's going to apply all throughout the holidays. So be sure to come back for that. And as always, please continue to spread the word about this podcast to all of your friends. I appreciate it so much. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.